What does all of this news coverage feel like to people who are actually connected to MS-13? To answer that question, I sat down with Gerardo Lopez, who's a former member of MS-13 and who now runs the Denver chapter of Homies Unidos, which is the anti-gang violence program that you heard about earlier in the show. Gerardo was born in Los Angeles to Argentinian and Mexican parents, and he first took notice of MS-13 when he was a teenager.
I joined the MS when I was about 14 years old.
What made you start thinking, actually, about joining the gang?
You know, we used to always play baseball. We used to always play softball. We were good students. But then the funding for those things ran out. There was no more after school program. You know, the funding's in the park to play athletic stuff. That kind of ran out.
Are you actually saying that, like, if the after school program, that if those funds had not been cut, that you might not have joined MS-13?
I think I might have been less prone to join it. My time that I had empty right there might have been filled in different places. But it just wasn't because of that. I mean, it was also somewhat of a gang-infested neighborhood, and I became fascinated by it. At the beginning, I was scared, but I remember watching this show. It was called Saved by the Bell. And I would turn on the TV, and there were the high school jocks, and Mr. Belden used to take the kids, you know, camping and white water rafting all the time. And they used to go hang out at the Max, this pizza place, and their neighborhood seemed like it was nonviolent.
And you can use your cellular phone to order me a pizza.
Yes, hello. I'd like to order a large pizza with mushrooms, anchovies, and the hottest peppers you can find.
When I turned off my TV and looked out my window, the high school jock was the dude gang banging or, you know, selling the dope. And as a kid, I was also bullied. It got to the point where if I can't beat them, I'll just go ahead and join them.
What was your life like at the height of your being a part of MS-13?
I remember it was late at night, and then, you know, I was walking by, I was going home. It was like at 2 a.m, and, you know, you see a car pull up. And they're all like, hey, homie, you slanging? Such as, hey, you're selling drugs or something? And I'm all like, nah. And by that time, I knew that I wasn't gonna go ahead and get shot. And somebody comes out of the car and pulls a gun out. And before they pulled the gun out, I saw the fire come out of the gun before I heard the noise. And then it was just like that. It was a pow. And then from right there, you know, you start turning into this track star, if you will, and you're able to hop over all kinds of different stuff.
Okay, wait. You mean like extreme sports?
Yeah, if there's barbed wires up there, you're going to keep climbing. And I remember there was barbed wires. There was a dog barking, a huge dog. I mean, this dog was huge. And I was all like, man, I'd rather have that dog bite me than get shot, you know? So, you jump down, and I remember the dog barking. And as soon as I jumped down, the dog didn't do nothing. So we just kind of stared at each other, and I kept running. And you know, you kind of just hide, and there's like cars. The car just kept circling around for about half an hour. And then after that, you know, when I saw that it was clear to go, I just got up and, you know, started kind of ducking behind cars and just running home. I lived about 3 more blocks away, you know. And then you go home, and then your mom's waiting for you. You know, your grandma's waiting for you. You know, you find them praying or something, or you find them doing something. They're like, Gerardito, ¿dónde has estado? You know, what time and everything like that. You don't want to tell them about the experience that you just had, you know, but they tell you, you know, I've heard some gunshots.
This is the part of me, Gerardo, where I'm like, you did that to your mother and to your abuelita?
Right.
As a mother of a brown-skinned young man, it's like that's the perpetual worry.
Right.
So what would you tell them when you came home at 3 o'clock in the morning?
There was a lot of screaming and shouting going through both sides sometimes, you know, and I didn't want to hear what they had to say. I think I cared more about what the homies thought than my parents thought. I looked at their love as unconditional love. You know, once you see your family, your mom, your grandma right there crying and praying for you, and you're like, man, I got to get out of this lifestyle, you know? And there's this guy named Alex Sanchez. He's the director from Homies Unidos out in L.A. And like, you should just go to our gang intervention stuff. And I was like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to go ahead and go to that. And then two moms from kids that lost their lives came up to me, and they were all like, you know, we don't want the same thing to happen to you that happened to our kids. And when I went to go check it out, and they asked my enemies back then, what are your struggles and your goals? And they asked me the same question, what are your struggles and your goals? Their struggles and their goals was the same as mine. And when they brought in the parents, their moms shed the same tears as my mom. You know, they went through the same pain. We caused them the same suffering.
So here we are in 2017. The president, Donald Trump, says things like this.
They like to knife them and cut them and let them die slowly because That way it's more painful, and they enjoy watching that much more. These are animals.
When you hear Donald Trump, the president, saying these things, I mean, what goes on for you?
When people are being called animals, you know, if somebody would have called me an animal or somebody would have called, I saw so many people change their lives that they were being called animals in that certain sense or anything like that. You know, I don't think nobody would have changed. I think people would have just built up more anger towards the people that are calling them animals and that are thinking that, you know what, these guys are just no good. They can't change.
But what about the crimes that MS-13 has actually committed?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that most of those crimes have been committed against Latinos and Latino immigrants?
Well, you know, when I was gangbanging, you know who were the people we were gangbanging against? The people that looked like us. But we're constantly saying and pointing the fingers, the violence. And why are people doing this? Why are people doing this? I could tell you why they're doing this because of the stuff that we're not wasting any funds on rehabilitation. And we're so quick to go ahead and jail the problem. And we get infatuated or fascinated by this stuff, but we don't want to go ahead and get to the root of the problem. Well, the struggles that have been going on, the barrios, that the poverty and everything like that. There was a study done in El Salvador in 1997. It was by 1,200 gang members from MS-13 and 18th Street. They asked them, why did you join a gang? Nobody said, because I want to chop somebody's head up or chop it up into pieces. Everybody said, because we want to be part of the Basil, you know, like the atmosphere of it.
Why do you think that Trump is putting so much focus on MS-13 right now?
The way Trump's administration is going right now, I mean, who's going to argue with him and who's going to defend MS-13? This is something that he's chosen that he could only win on. I mean, it's to go ahead and try to win something in a failed campaign. We have a whole lot of kids fleeing Central America to come to the United States. And they're being portrayed as MS-13 gang members. No, it's kids that are fleeing from the violence, the gang violence that's going on over there to stay alive. 5 or 10 years from now, we're going to be right back in the same place and people are going to ask me, wow, so tell me stories about MS-13, you know? Let's start talking stories about rehabilitation.
What does that conversation look like?
You know, that conversation right there is called restorative justice. You know, those people that got killed in New York, you know? I feel for their family, man. What do you tell them? There's nothing you could tell them to go ahead and do bad. I feel when everybody dies, you know? Not if it's only gang involved, but also people that die through police brutality. This has been going on in the black and brown communities for hundreds of years, you know? But the only solution that we find when a kid is in pain or a person is in pain, we say, you know what? Lock them up and throw away the key.
Gerardo Lopez is a former member of MS-13 and director of the Denver chapter of Homies Unidos, which is a gang rehabilitation program. And the rest of this conversation with Gerardo is available on our sister podcast, In the Thick, which is a show about race, culture, and politics from a POC perspective. You can find it in your podcast feed or at inthethick.org.